Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Washington Avenue Christian Church. I'm Jim Shelburne, Senior Pastor. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Well, good morning, church. What an amazing worship time. I hope that you've been encouraged and uplifted by it in the same way that I have. And I hope that you are as appreciative of these who've come together today to lead us. You know, the fact and joy of Easter isn't hampered in the least by the fact that church buildings are not full. Easter is Easter because the tomb was empty. And today, if we But what I really want to say to you this Resurrection Sunday morning is that the very fact of irreversibility creates the most perfect backdrop for Easter. If there is one promise from Easter that stands out, it has to be that God understands. God understands our predicament. When God became flesh, He experienced up close and personally the agony of life's irreversibility. Jesus was torn with grief as He shared the pain of a widow whose only son had died. He heard the anguished cry of a friend who said to Him, "If you had been here, my brother would still be alive." And Jesus wept beside her. Jesus understood it more than academically. By the time they lay you on a cross and drive nails through your hands and your feet, what happens next is pretty much written in stone. In this life, nothing seems more irreversible than the grave. Nothing seems as obscenely final as death. Nothing appears so hopelessly done. As one author has written, the crypt tells no tales. But when answers aren't enough, we need to remember the promise of Easter. And we need to look back to the cross. We have such an advantage over the first followers of Jesus who really didn't know what to think after Friday. We who follow Christ, we know the rest of the story now, don't we? And that's why we are celebrating today. That's why we are joy-filled today. That's why we do everything that we do as believers, as followers of Christ. That's why we call the day that Jesus died Good Friday. But that Friday when Jesus died, it was anything but good to them. At that time, it was the end of their dreams. Jesus was nailed to a cross. He was executed like the worst of common criminals. He was taken down and placed in a cold, dark tomb. It looked like a tragic, dead end. What would it mean for the world if the story had ended there? What would it mean for us? Those who are familiar with God and the way God does things shouldn't have been surprised by Easter. Throughout the entire record of Scripture, God has proven Himself to be a God who intervenes in the most unexpected ways and places to reverse what seemed to be irreversible. For example, just a few examples, man sins and falls in the garden. And very soon the world is so full of sin and so full of evil that it looks like there could never be a new beginning. And then came Noah. God's promise to Abraham that he would become a nation more numerous than the sands on the seashore seemed in jeopardy when it depended on the womb of a 90-year-old woman. And then God gave them Isaac. God's people were prisoners in Egypt for 430 years, and the prospects of getting out, of things getting better, were pretty much gone. And then God sent Moses. An unmarried teenage virgin becomes pregnant and the object of public shame and ridicule, and then God sends an angel to announce the birth of His Son and to bestow the unique highest praise and honor for the one who would bear and raise Him. Your Bible is basically story after story after story of turned tables. Time and time again, when it appeared to human eyes that all was said and done, God burst in with the last word, which was really just one more continuing word, one more additional chapter of the tale that God had written long ago. But of all of these stories, the greatest is the one that we are celebrating today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So great was this story so pivotal that the Apostle Paul staked every Christian's faith on its reality. He said, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If Christ has not been raised, and we have hope only in this life, then we are to be pitied most among all men. Even as believers who know the story, we have to admit that things looked pretty bleak, that not so good, actually intensely awful, worst Friday ever. Christ's death looked like the end of the story, the last dismal lines of the last desperate page in the book's dying chapter. Done. It was finished. When 3 days later, rumors started flying around that Jesus' body had been stolen, even the disciples couldn't believe it. Their worst case scenario was now redefined at a lower level. They were humanly conditioned, as are we often, to accept the irreversible, and so they did, but not for long. We as a church have been reading in the book of Acts a lot lately. And as we've noted there, in just a few short weeks, the very same people who had crawled away from Golgotha too frightened to risk anything were found preaching before huge crowds in open temple courts, risking everything to tell an amazing, unbelievable story. Peter boldly told it like this: you handed Jesus over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate. You traded the holy and righteous one for a murderer. You killed the author of life. And then comes a wonderful little word: but. But God raised him from the dead, and we are eyewitnesses. What an amazing reversal! What an amazing story! And herein lies the promise of resurrection, and this is why and what we celebrate today. The resurrection of God's Son forever offers the overruling promise of reversibility. That means that nothing, no act of childhood cruelty, no experience of shame or regret, no failure, no shattered dream, no crashed economy or trashed retirement account, no physical or mental disability, no viral disease, not even death, if it should come to that, is irreversibly final. If Jesus can overcome Satan's worst through Christ, we can too. Those who embrace the risen Lord Jesus as their living master are never again the same. They may believe in pain, because that is real, but not in defeat. They believe in death, but not in despair. Although they live in reality, which includes open caskets, open and honest doubts, fears, unemployment, pains, and yes, viruses, although they know from experience that there is enough sorrow to stretch from here to infinity, they still stand up strong. Paul, again, was the one who said it best, perhaps. We are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day, and our light and momentary troubles today are purchasing for us an amazing glory that will far outweigh them all. One man has written, God weeps with us today so that we may one day laugh with Him. So what does the promise we call Easter really mean? It means that we no longer have to believe in irreversibility. What Easter means is that a law of nature and physics, as basic and as bedrock as any, has just been overturned and rolled away by a greater spiritual truth. And as we live between the first and second comings of Jesus Christ, and perhaps especially as we live in the midst of crisis and pandemic, we must never forget, and we must never lose hope. Today is but a season. The human life is but a season. Eternity is forever. And I would say today, maybe this is a new story to some of you who are watching. If you don't know this risen Jesus as your Savior, you probably should give this some careful thought. We asked a question earlier, what would it mean for the world if the story had ended at the tomb? Said another way, what difference does it make that the tomb was empty? Paul said that if Easter hadn't happened, we are to be pitied most among all men. But thankfully for us, just the opposite is true, right? Because Easter did happen, we are the most fortunate. What difference does it make? Every difference. What does it mean? It means everything. Easter means everything if you've ever sat by the bedside of your child in a hospital, not knowing if they would survive the night, or stood quietly by a loved one's bedside in a death vigil. Easter makes every difference if you've stood in the fresh dirt of a recently filled grave which contains the body of your mother or father or sister or brother or a spouse or a child. It means everything if you were to find yourself in the hospital with a virus that may kill you, or just locked up at home wondering when it will come. Easter means so much if you've ever looked at the world's gone wrongness and wondered what hope there might still be for humankind. Oh yes, it makes a difference whether or not that Palestinian tomb was occupied or vacant on Sunday morning. For all of us, for all of those who have ever mourned, who've ever been scarred or scared by death or divorce or disease or dysfunction, it is terribly relevant that we serve a resurrecting God. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Well, either He is or He isn't. And it all depends on what happened that weekend in Palestine. If you believe in Easter, that He is the resurrection and the life, that means that you can see every dark passage in life illuminated through resurrection hope. If you can't believe in Easter and why Easter matters, then nothing else really matters at all. There are always a lot of deaths in our world. I imagine if we were actually counting the death meter, we wouldn't be as shocked by the numbers that we're seeing today. But there are at least, as of today, 110,000 people who have died in recent months because of a virus. The number probably far exceeds that. Those are the ones that we can count. But of all those thousands and thousands of people, I would say those who knew Jesus Christ are better. They've won. I worry about those who didn't know Jesus. What better time could there be to make sure that the people we live close to, the people that we know, the people God puts in our pathways know about this Jesus? Because it makes every difference. I'm too young to remember it, but history records a story that I love. When Britain's great Prime Minister Winston Churchill died, his funeral was held in the great St. Paul's Cathedral, majestic building, I've seen it. He had this carefully planned out, as you would imagine, including many of the great hymns of the church and the eloquent Anglican liturgy. At his direction, at the end, after the final blessing and benediction, a bugler placed high up in the dome of the cathedral played taps, the universal signal that day is over. You know it. Three notes, three words, little triads put together. Day is done. Gone the sun, from the lake, from the hill, from the sky. All is well. Safely rest. God is nigh. It really wasn't anything that dramatic or unexpected about that part. That's the song you play at military funerals, song you play over the bodies of great leaders. But then came a dramatic turn. After the last mournful notes of taps ceased resonating through that building, another bugler, placed high in the dome on the opposite side, began to play the rousing notes of reveille. It's time to get up. It's time to get up. It's time to get up in the morning. At the cross on that Friday, as darkness veiled the earth, which trembled in spasms of grief, he could have played taps. It would have seemed almost fitting as the earth ceased its shuddering and the sky grew as dark as that very moment in time and all grew hushed. It looked like another irreversible inequity. Even Jesus said from the cross, "It is finished." But if the disciples had only known what we know, if they had only known what he meant and what was coming on Sunday, the words to taps would have been even more appropriate. All is well. Safely rest. God is near. If only they had known on Friday what we know, they'd have known that everything was all right. In fact, it was more right, more all right than it ever had been. And it was all right, not in spite of the dead Jesus hanging on a cross, but exactly because he was. There are lots of Fridays in life like that. They're painful, they're hurtful, seemingly irreversible. But don't forget that after those Fridays, Sunday always comes. And along with it comes the power of new life, new beginnings and new relationships and new purpose. And in the great scheme of things, when it's all over and when history has set like the sun, the last trumpeted song this earth will hear will not be taps. It will be reveille. It's time to get up. Earlier, I quoted an author who said, "The crypt tells no tales." Generally speaking, that is very true. But the most famous crypt of all history tells a very important tale in its emptiness. It tells us that the worst things in this life are never the last things. Father, we bow before you today, acknowledging that you are the Lord of heaven and earth. You are the Lord of day and night. You're the Lord of seasons. You are the Lord of biology and viruses. You are the Lord of life and death. And today we celebrate the fact that you are the Lord of resurrection. Father, we are in awe of that power. We are amazed by who you are and what you've done. And I pray, Lord, for those who are hearing this message today and for those who all over the world perhaps are hearing the story of the kind of power that could empty a tomb. Pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is using this message and these messages powerfully Lord, I pray that any who hear these words, who have never considered this Jesus, that their hearts will draw them to ask more questions. And I pray that we who know will be watching and will be ready, because maybe we have the answers that they need. We know that Jesus does. Father, it's a different kind of Easter, one like we've never experienced in our lifetimes. But Lord, the tomb is still empty. The cross is still empty. And Jesus, your Son, is still alive. We honor and celebrate and glorify Him today. It's in His name we pray. Amen. So, church, God bless you this Resurrection Sunday. May the new hope of Easter fill your hearts and warm your souls. And until we meet together again, trust God and keep calm and carry on. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of Washington Avenue Christian Church. If you'd like more information about our church, please go to our website at waccconline.org.